thing I have. The other thing, problem I have is that I never quite know what to wear when I come here. See, it does make a difference. Should I wear a suit? Should I not wear a suit? The problem is when you go to different churches, you always forget what each church expects of you. So can I say I'm really sorry? I look like somebody who's going to a funeral but taking the wrong tie. And next time I'm going to do my very best not to wear a suit. And the third problem I had was sitting in the front. If you're going to be a preacher in the future and you're just getting used to the idea, if you arrive a little late, don't sit in the front, because you never know what the people behind you is doing. You know, half the service, the whole congregation is stood up and clapping and you're sat in the front, the only person in the church still sitting down. And then halfway through, you suddenly realise you're getting it wrong and you stand up and the rest of the congregation sits down. And suddenly you're the only person in the church standing up. And by the time it comes to preaching, you've lost it completely. Lost all your confidence if you ever had any in the first place, and you just wish somebody else was doing the preaching bit. But the nice thing about having been here before is that actually, in my heart, I know you couldn't care less whether I wear a suit or not. And you couldn't care less whether I'm standing up or sitting down or what I'm doing. It's just lovely to be together in the Lord, isn't it? And just to share together the joy of the Lord that we have. I go to a church in Pontypool. The minister until not long ago was a guy called Di Hankey. You know him. And he was indeed the person who, first of all, suggested that preachers from our church should maybe occasionally come and learn from you. So it's all his fault, basically. And I am totally confused this morning because I came ready to do something for the kids. And then I thought there weren't any kids here. So I quickly changed the sermon and now I've got to go back to plan A. Right, let's have a look at the book of Exodus. The one that rather randomly says football shirts or football team shirts. My sermon is going to be on football for the first 5 minutes. Okay. So, Exodus chapter 19. Chapter 20, rather. So here we are, the first few verses of Exodus chapter 20. You know these verses extremely well. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land and the Lord your God, that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. God will bless his word to us. I love the Old Testament. So often we hear sermons on the New Testament, and that's great, but sometimes we don't hear enough on the Old Testament. Right, what we're going to do today is talk for the first 5 minutes about football. I don't know if you're interested in football. I'm looking at the young man between you two ladies. It's okay. Yeah, I'll try that. I don't know if you're particularly interested in football or not. And the church I go to, we've got quite a few young fellas, and they're absolutely obsessed with football. They watch it. My grandson's just the same. I mean, the poor lad, he's in for a lifetime of disappointment because he supports Swansea City. Well, there we go. Somebody has to be said. And he knows all about them. I took him to see the football a while ago, and we were driving down the M4, and I've never seen a boy so excited about the prospect of seeing a team that is bound to lose, but actually didn't that week, which was wonderful. But the other kids who come to my church, they bring the match attacks cards. You know what those are, don't you? Yeah. And they have a great big folder of them and dozens, and they swap them and they talk about them and they compare match attacks folders. And they're absolutely fascinated with football. And they've all got their favourite teams. Most of them, at the moment, their favourite team is Chelsea, because it's at the top, I guess. Last term, it was Manchester City and Leicester, but Leicester's not as popular as they were. So it's all about following your favourite team. And that's a bit of the theme that we're going to be talking about today. We're going to have a memory verse and we're going to have a quiz. Now, the quiz is not just for the children. The quiz is for the grown-ups as well. And what I'm going to do, I am going to put, well, at least I am not. Niecy is going to do this because I wouldn't know how to do it. She's going to put some pictures up there of famous teams' football shirts this season. And you have to tell me which team they are. Now, you see, there's a problem because I wrote the answers down on a piece of paper before I left home. And I've left a piece of paper behind. So I'm not even sure myself. So if you get it wrong, I should probably just say, yeah, that's right, and I'm done with. But we'll do our best, all right. But the kids will know. The kids will know. They'll know the right answers. Apart from one. One is a little bit sort of out there. And if anyone gets it right, I should be well impressed. But they might not be football. They might be another sport. But anyway, they're team shirts. Have we got one? Well, there we are. Can anybody tell me which team wears that shirt? This is going to go badly wrong if everybody in this church hates football. Who? Man United. Well, oh, sir, may I just say publicly how pleased I am to see you in our church. So Man United, we have... Are you a Man United supporter, sir? No, that's all right, because I would have rescinded the handshake if you were. So, okay, let's have a look at a second. Oh, now then. Who is that, I wonder? Absolutely not. This season's Chelsea home strip. Do we have a Chelsea supporter in the team? Oh, we do? Oh, I came to the wrong church, obviously. So, who's the third one? Huh, right now. This one's a little bit more complicated. It might not be football. Might be another sport. Yes, sir, do you know? Scotland what? No, Scotland rugby shirt. Now, here's a man who said, a wise man, a man who knows a really interesting... Yeah, I was going to put the Welsh one up, but I thought it would be too obvious. Excellent. So, the fourth one, who's this? Do we have an Everton supporter in there? Oh, my son is an Everton supporter. I've only put it up there out of loyalty to my son. I'm hoping that as he gets older, he'll gain wisdom. And the next one. Do we have a Tottenham supporter in there? Yes, you do. Yeah. Second in the league. Yeah, very happy with my team. And the next one. Oh, right on. Who was that? Half the world. Yeah, well done. Yes, is that where you hail from, Nietzsche? No. I really should have said African shit. Ah, could have got some brownie points there. But I didn't. And the next one. If anyone gets this right, I should be well impressed. It's the mighty. The mighty. Yeovil Town Football Club. Where I come from, I grew up in Yeovil. I'm actually a Cornish man. That's it then. Thank you very much. You did very well indeed. And I want to say that this morning we're talking about being members of a team. And we're going to do a memory verse now. And I'm going to need some help. Because here I have the memory verse. Lots of sheets. And I want some people to come out the front. And I'm going to stick it on your back. So that, not with super glue, you're all right. You'll be able to take it off afterwards. Just with sellotape. And then they'll be able to read it. And then we can all do the memory verse and remember it when we go. So, I wonder if I can have some help. Doesn't just need to be children. So, you going to help me, sir? Excellent. You seem to get volunteered for everything. Well done. Good. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. It was nice of you to bring this young lady with you. Right, so we've got three. We've got a couple more. Well done. So, right. Now, I may have too many people now. So, some preachers are never satisfied, are they? Right. So, I'm going to stick this one. Step forward, madam, if you would, please. And turn around. Which is so... It's so much nicer not having to look at them. Look at the bank for me. I'm not going to embarrass you much. Okay. So, that's one. Now we're going to get another one and stick this on the back of some. See, this was in this was in perfect condition when I left home. I thought it was much easier than having scissors. And then when I sat down, I sat on it. So, it's not in the best of condition anymore. Right, okay. Step forward, sir. Turn round. Wasn't kind of me to put a piece of paper on your back that says I am a chicken, was it? No, it doesn't. You're all right. Right, next one. I'm not putting these up in any particular order. So, would you like to step forward and turn round for me? Well, this is going to be complicated, isn't it? Right. Yeah. Excellent. Stay there. Oh, no, you can step forward into your line again. Hang on to those for me. Thank you. Turn right. Or step forward and turn right. There we are. I love your jacket. Isn't that a great jacket? I really do like that jacket. My favourite colour almost. What have you? Right, would you step forward and turn round for me? There's just one more. Just you to go. How did you know? You brought exactly the right number. Okay, now you've got to tell me, who would you like me to put this in? Who? Holly. Be holy. I think you said Holly. Come over here, please, ma'am, would you? And stand at this end with your back to the congregation. Right, what would you like next?
Because.
Right, would you step that way for me? Would you step there? Don't go too far. It's just to give him room to get in there. Well done. Be holy because next I am. And who should be here? Right. This one? Okay. Could you swap places with him, please? And who would you like next? Okay, so we're going to swap places for you two. Okay. Right, so here we are then. We're all going to say it together. I would say that was, what's the word I'm looking for? Pathetic, that's the word I'm looking for. Right, let's do this with a little bit of enthusiasm. Be holy because I am holy. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45. Just stick that on again, that was my fault. Stay there. We're going to take this one away and we're going to let you go back and sit down. Thank you for your help. Right, so here we go then. Because I am holy. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45. They're old. Their memories aren't very good. So you've got to let them see it. So we'll take you away. I'm very grateful for your help, sir. You can go and sit down. Okay. Oh dear, for goodness sake. You've obviously got a coat that isn't very good at taking sellotape. Well, turn around. There we are. Hold that. Here we go. Be holy because I am holy. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45. Right. And the word we've got. A lot of people don't understand what that means. I remember when I first started going to church when I was about 15 years of age, that people, my colleagues at school, used to find it very strange that one of their numbers should be going to church on a Sunday. And they thought that what marked out people as being Christians was not so much what they did do, not even so much what they believed, but what they didn't do. Because in those days, and we're going back to the mid-60s now, which hardly any of you can remember, but back in the mid-60s, it was very important to the people in the church that we didn't do a whole raft of things. Christians didn't go to the cinema. Christians didn't go to the theatre. Christians never bought anything on a Sunday. And there was a raft of things that marked us out as being different. But actually, holy doesn't so much mean you don't do this and you don't do that, although there are things we don't do because we're Christians. But being a Christian is all about simply the word holy means being different. And we as Christians are the team that is different from the other teams. We're different because of the way we live. We're different, yes, because we don't do certain things because we know they would make God sad. But we're also different because there's a whole raft of things that we do, that we're released to do because we're Christians. And we do them because they make God happy, because they make him glad. And that in turn makes us glad because, let me tell you, there's almost nothing in the world more satisfying than knowing we're doing God's will. That what we're doing makes God pleased with us. And that is a wonderful thing. So we're talking about being members of a team that are marked out by the fact that we're different from all the other teams. That people can tell us apart. That people can know who we are almost just by looking at us. Am I right in saying, folks? You tell me. Sometimes you meet somebody. It might be in a shop. It might be when you're on holiday, or it might be somebody you meet at work, and you shake hands with them and say hello, and something in your spirit says this person's different. Something in your spirit says this person's a Christian. And it's your spirit, witnessing with their spirit that you both are the sons or daughters of God. And it's a wonderful thing. There is a recognition. And we don't actually all need to go around wearing the same shirt. But the fact is, we have the same spirit living within us. And that makes us recognizable to other people. It's why we get persecuted sometimes. Why we get picked on at school. It's just because we wear the shirt in our heart that we are different, that we are holy, that we belong to God. And sometimes we feel, this is fab. Do you know, I was years, I don't, wasn't going to say this, but and it's no credit to me, but years and years and years ago, I hitchhiked from Land's End to John O'Groats to raise some money for a charity. And I arrived at John O'Groats at about 11 o'clock at night at the end of September. I mean, I hadn't set off in January. I'd set off about 4 days earlier. And I got a lift out to the next town down, a place called Witt. And I was stuck. It was pouring with rain. It was freezing cold. And I really thought I was going to get hypothermia. And a man spoke to me. And he said, you seem to be stuck. Can I help? And this chap turned out to be a Christian. And he knew that I was a Christian. There was something about us that marks our team out as being special, different, touched by God, living in his spirit. Let me take that on a little bit. And this is not going to be the longest sermon ever for the simple fact that I could preach on this for hours, and I'm trying not to. So the team captain is holy. We are holy. The team motto is holy. We belong to God. And I guess you could say simply that we're set aside for a relationship with God. So how do we go about showing that we are that different people? Well, it's an old-fashioned word, it seems to me. People don't like folk using this word. And if you say, use this word in relation to another person, sometimes they get really offended. Fact is, we are marked out as holy because we do our very best not to sin. Am I right? That's why I read that passage from the Old Testament. I read the Ten Commandments. Surprisingly, how many people have no idea what the Ten Commandments say. And depending on whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Christian or whether you're a Roman Catholic, I'm not saying you can't be a Roman Catholic and a Christian, by the way, then they split them up slightly differently, but they all say the same thing. But the simple fact is that Christians are marked out as different because they do not sin. Now, or because they try not to sin. I want to do a little experiment here, and I have my juggling box. Because again, a lot of people don't understand. And I'm going to need another helper. Just something in here. You'll wonder why on earth I didn't just bring in the two things I need for this demonstration. I don't need this case. It's just that I was a bit late, so I had to grab the whole thing. And let me see. Who's going to help me? You going to help me again? Yeah. Yeah, you'll do. Come on in. It's all right, you don't have to juggle with my knives. You're quite safe. See, for Jewish people, particularly, the Ten Commandments are very, very important. Do you agree? You know that, don't you? Let me just tell you what. Don't have any other gods before me. No graven images. Don't take God's name in vain. Keep the Sabbath holy. Honor your mother and father. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Jewish people hold this to be very, very important. So important that they build a fence around the Ten Commandments. Other laws and rules that say if you keep those rules, you can't break the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are so important to Jewish people. But Christian people, or people who say they're Christian, so often we don't hold them as important as we used to, but we should. Right, sir, can you hold that for me, please? Now, you see, the thing is that, stand over there, the word for sin is amartia, and it's a word that's used in archery. So, and it means to miss the target. And that's what sin means, missing God's target. God's target is that you are holy, that you don't break any of those rules, ever. So I'm going to give you a target. I'm going to stand here with a hoop in my hand. It's never so easy. All I want you to do is to throw the ball through the hoop. Excellent. Go and pick it up because I'm too old. Brilliant. He hit the target. So if God's target was throw a ball through a hoop, he'd be fine. No sin. Right. Would you please very carefully throw the ball through the hoop? See, that's good, isn't it? He hasn't broken the rule yet. The rule is the ball goes through the hoop. That means he's okay, he's fine. God's target for us is that we are holy. Don't forget the rule, the ball's got to go through the hoop. This could be a very long service. Very good. Kept the rule. Hit the target. Brilliant. God's target for us is do not sin. Be holy. Please, miss. Oh, for goodness sake. Is that your mum? Where? Who's his mum? And is this what you do with him at home all day? You get him to throw things and stuff. Right. Don't forget the target. Ball's got to go through the hoop. Through the hoop. God's target for us is be holy. Don't miss the target. But you see, he needs a round of applause. Thank you. You can sit down. You did brilliantly, far better than I expected. So here's the thing. For God's people, for members of his team, who are marked out by the sign that says holy, God's target is do not miss the target. God said to the people in Exodus, here is my target for you. Keep these rules. Be holy. But when he says don't miss the target, he doesn't mean keep the target four times out of five. He doesn't mean keep the target most of the time. He doesn't mean be fairly accurate. When God calls his people to holiness in the Old Testament, he says keep the rules, all the rules, all the time. And if you don't keep all the rules, all the time, that is sin. And you know what? They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. And so, because they couldn't do it, there was no hope for them. And if God said to you and me, we have to keep all the rules all the time, never sin, and if you ever do, you're going to hell, there'd be no hope for us either, would there? But the fact is, that on a day a baby was born 2,000 years ago. And that baby was the Son of God. His name was Jesus. And he did. He did what we never could. He never missed the target. Not once. He hit the target 100% of the time. And he hit the targets 100% of the targets. He never missed. He never sinned. He never failed. He was the only truly holy man who ever lived. And because of him, we can be holy too. His righteousness is our righteousness. And so, my call to you today is be members of his team. Be his people. Be marked out by love for other members of the team. With pride, wear the badge that says holy. But add another one. Wear the badge that says grace. Because it's only by grace that we can be holy in the eyes of God. We can never do it. We'll fail and fail and fail. And we'll go to God and we'll say, how can you put up with me? How can you stand me? I keep letting you down. And God replies, because of Christ, because of my Son. And in his grace, he forgives us. And when we get to heaven, he will see us in all the righteousness of his Son, and we will be holy. Praise God. Thank you so much for your help, kids. You were brilliant, weren't they great? Let's just pray. Father God, we can never be holy in our own strength. We have no chance. And our money or our wisdom or our qualifications or our abilities will never make us holy. It's only the grace that you showed in sending your Son that can ever allow us to wear the shirt that says holy. Please would you help us never to try and be righteous in our own strength, but always in his, that he might be seen in us, and people might see us and know that we're yours, and that they might want to be yours to join your team as well. In Jesus' name, amen.